Welcome to the FCA Palm Beach County Podcast. I am your host and area representative, Jason Banzoff. Our mission is to lead coaches and athletes into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church, and empowering them to excel not only on the field, but also in their spiritual lives. In today's episode, we are honored to welcome former Florida State Seminole and Miami Dolphins, Sammy Smith. I was able to connect with him at Real Time in Orlando in February. Sammy's journey from the gridiron to the FCA is nothing short of inspiring, and he joins us to share his experience of faith, resilience, and perseverance in the face of adversity. Join us as we delve into Sammy's remarkable story, discovering how his faith has been the cornerstone of his life, both on and off the field. From the highs of his football career to the challenges he's overcome, Sammy offers invaluable insights into what it means to live out one's faith in the sports world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired as we embark on this journey of faith, fellowship, and football with Sammy Smith. Welcome to the FCA Palm Beach County Podcast. All right, I'm here with Sammy Smith. We're here actually at Real Time 2024 and in beautiful Orlando. So, Sammy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason, for having me. Super excited about being here at Real Time. Been on staff for 12 years now with FCA, and this is our first time attending Real Time. So we're excited to see what this weekend offers.
It's my first time at Real Time too. So we're ready to go. We're ready to see what God wants to do this week. You played in the NFL and you went to college at Florida State, and you're now on staff with FCA, working with FCA Outdoors. But first, I want to know, talk about young Sammy Smith a little bit.
Well, I come from a little small migrant town, a little town called Zellwood, Florida, that was known for our sweet corn at the time. Again, it was just a hardworking community. You know, my high school was just a few miles up the road in Apopka, Florida, which was another suburb of Orlando. And so I grew up just loving sports, loving the game of football. I enjoyed running track and field. That was one of my favorite sports. I played a little basketball and did a lot of fishing as a kid. And so I think that's where my love for fishing comes from today, is that I had a dad that took the time to take me and my brothers fishing.
I grew up in Western Maryland, and I had a grandfather that loved to fish, so fishing's kind of still special to me. I don't get to do it near as much. It's been a long time since I did it, but it's really cool that fishing just kind of takes you back, and you really get to do that now with FCA Outdoors, correct?
Well, I find that being on the lake for me is really rejuvenating. It's relaxing. It's a quiet time for me. It's a time that even if I'm not catching fish, man, that I can just marvel in God's beauty. And it's a time that I have to pray, you know, and to hear from God, and just to spend some quiet time with Him on the lake. And so there's nothing more that I would rather be doing as hobby-wise than being on the lake fishing.
Yeah. Well, cool. So you went to, then we went to Florida State, and you played under Bobby Bowden. And just talk a little bit about your time at Florida State.
Well, you know, we came into Florida State during a time where the school was really looking to be taken to the next level, if you would say. We had a great football coach there, Coach Bowden, that had a few really good years, I think, in like the 79 and 80. But, you know, we were kind of getting behind there. I think Florida was doing really well at that time. And, of course, Miami's football team was up and running and doing really well, hitting on all cylinders. Miami had just won a national championship in 1983. Mm. And so my class of 1985 consisted of course, Deion Sanders was one of our guys, and one of the guys that still coaches there now, Odell Hagan. So we had a great 85 class, and we were just excited about being a part of the turnaround, per se, for FSU. That, you know, that class, I think, helped spearhead what would go on to be a 14 years straight of Coach Bowden putting teams on the field that ranked in the top five or six teams every year at the end of the year. And so, man, it was a special time, you know, playing for a great football coach and a great staff, and just having a bunch of great guys and, you know, teammates to play with. And so it's time that I look back on real fondly of, and probably one of the most special times of my life was spent in Tallahassee those 4 years.
So you
played under Coach Bowden, and Coach Bowden was always a friend of FCA. And so what was it like being under his leadership?
Well, I leaned on Coach Bowden a lot, Jason, after football. Mm. And, you know, he was a great leader. But, man, you know, the thing that stands out most to me and that I gleaned more from him than anything was life lessons that I would endure in times of needing some encouragement or just some words of genuine advice, you know. And I found that in Coach Bowden. And I think that that's one of the most, I think, special and one of the, probably the highest regards that you can give a coach is after you've done playing the game or whatever the sport is that you impacted their lives, you know, your players' lives more off of the field than you did on the field. And, you know, so having the opportunity to play for a man like Coach Bowden really in the long run benefited me in ways that I can't even, you know, begin to tell you all the great benefits that I received from having him as a coach.
Well, I love that after playing, you really leaned in on Coach Bowden and just being able to learn from him and grow from him, because I never got to meet him, but from what I know, he was just an amazing man and a great mentor as well.
Well, he supported FCA. If you've been to Kansas City, you know, he's in the Hall of Champions there. My high school coach was the first that introduced me to FCA.
Okay. And,
Doug Scott was a gentleman that kind of spearheaded FCA when I was coming up as a young boy. And he was with Coach Bowden. He went everywhere with Coach Bowden at the end before Doug passed. You know, wherever Coach Bowden went on speaking engagements, Doug went with him. And so Doug introduced me and our football team there at Apopka to Black Mountain in North Carolina. So I had my first FCA camp experience because of my high school coach, Chip Gerke, and then Doug Scott, who was an FCA legend here. And so to be able to leave Apopka High School and then go and play for another man of God that loved FCA and supported his team and was bold with his faith, you know, was just tremendous. So I like to think that God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent the men and the young men and myself and, you know, all the many others to play for Coach Bowden and his staff there.
I love that. So let's shift to the NFL then. Let's go. So you were a first round pick, picked by my favorite team, the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, I grew up, I remember watching you as a kid. I was a really young kid, but I still remember, Sammy Smith running number 33. And, so what was it like to be drafted in the first round? How did that feel?
Well, it was a lifelong dream come true. I grew up, man, again, I said it earlier, just loving the game of football. My two favorite teams, believe it or not, were Oakland Raiders. I really liked Oakland Raiders. And then, of course, being from Florida, you know, who wouldn't follow the Dolphins?
Yeah.
And so when I got the opportunity to go up and play for the Dolphins and I got the call and knew that they were going to take me, you know, I was ecstatic about that opportunity to be able to go and play again for a legendary coach.
Yeah.
The winningest coach ever.
Yep.
In the NFL. And Coach Bowden, you know, had that title. I think there must have been something that happened that they took a few wins or whatever. But in my opinion, Coach Bowden is, you know, if not the one of the winningest coaches ever to do it on the college level. So I was blessed, man, to be able to play again with some talented folks at Tallahassee in Florida State, and then to be able to go and play, you know, with Dan Marino and you know, the Marx brothers and, you know, all the talent that was down there in Miami. And then, of course, playing for Coach Shula was a tremendous honor.
Yeah, so then you spent time with the Dolphins, and then you spent 1 year with the Denver Broncos. So what was that year like in Denver?
You know, I had a difficult season the previous season in Miami. Things didn't go like I would have liked to have seen them go that season. I had an injury in the preseason. And so I went into the regular season really not up to speed, not ready to play professional football on that level. And, you know, to get thrown into a game at that time and, you know, to not be able to perform at my at my best was really sort of traumatic per se. And so during the off season, there was an opportunity to get traded to Denver. And I accepted that opportunity. And there was a lot of times I looked back and I thought, man, what if, you know, I had decided or told Coach Shula, you know, I'd really like to stay here and stick it out and try to make this work, you know. So, but in retrospect, you know, you move on and you make the decisions that you make at that time. And I went to Denver with a fresh mindset of being able to go and, you know, pick up my career and to play well there. But, you know, I end up having an injury again during the preseason that eventually would cost me my career. But again, you know, how many guys can say, man, they played with Dan Marino and John Elway.
John Elway, yeah.
You know, as a running back, you know, and so, and then the great receivers that John Elway had there too, the three amigos were what they were called. And so I look back, man, on it all, and I'm just thankful that God chose to give me the opportunity to experience that level of playing, whether it was a difficult time, whether the trials and the tribulations, whatever the case, they all molded me into the man that I am today.
Well, and let's talk post-football. So you leave the NFL, and so what was the first couple years just like of post-NFL for you?
Well, I think, you know, when you've been a part of a team all your life, you know, in sports, that's something that you are. You know, if you're playing football or whether it be basketball or baseball, whatever the case, you're a part of a team. And then when that's taken away from you, now you're looking for that camaraderie. You're looking for, man, what's going to drive me? You know, and unfortunately, when I was done playing, I decided to, you know, start a career building homes. I had a home building company. And let me not say unfortunately. I was fortunate enough to be able to start building a company building homes for underprivileged families and stuff in my community. But I think the unfortunate thing is that I was connected with some friends. I got, you know, reconnected with friends that were involved in, you know, drug. Let's be straight to the point. That were involved in drug dealings, and I got sideswiped into being a part of that, and I would see my whole life just get changed in 10 months. You know, 10 months of making a really silly decision would cost me a whole lot. But again, I'm thankful for going through that experience and, you know, the ups and downs of that time, because it's helped mold me into the man, the father, the mentor, the follower of Christ, the lover of Christ that I am today.
So after, you know, you got caught in an unfortunate, you know, drug dealing, you know, you spent time in prison. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Right. Almost 7 years in federal prison. And it was during that time, honestly, that, man, I was able to reflect on, you know, really how good God had been to me, and how unfortunate it was that I would handle all the great attributes and things that he given me, you know, in that manner. And so it was a time of, again, reflection, and I just wanted to be better. You know, I wanted to be different. I wanted to walk in the purpose that I knew he had for me. And that was to be impactful to people. And, you know, at the end of the day, one of my main messages now that I share with young folks is influence. You know, that I believe that God has given each and every one of us a measure of influence. And that's one of the most precious things that the enemy wants to take from us is our influence. And so I decided at that point that I was going to get my influence back, you know, at all costs, that I was going to be transparent about what had happened in my life and the road that I had taken. And I was going to allow God to use me and to use it for his glory. You know, the difficult times that I had been through. And when you take on that mindset of hope, and you take on the mindset that, man, I'm not defeated, but that I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Even in the midst some difficult times, as long as I allow God to do the work and to use that opportunity to impact people's lives. And so that's what I do.
Wow. So let's, you know, look back. So you spend time in prison and then you really just say, I'm going to devote myself to the Lord then. And would you say that was around the beginning of the prison sentence or around the middle of it? When did that kind of start for you?
The first night I was arrested, Jason, I had an awakening, and I had the vision, and God showed me really the errors of, you know, my steps and the way that I had chosen to go. And again, I knew that night that that wasn't going to be the end. I knew that God had a plan for me, that, hey, I was going to have a road to travel now to get back to where he wanted me to be. And that was necessary, right? It was necessary for me to be sitting in that jail cell that first night, for my eyes to be open that, you know, that, man, I had really kind of messed things up, you know. But at the same time, I couldn't fix any of it, right? But I knew who could, and that was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I never forget, I got on my knees that night, and I cried, and I thank God that, man, he had me in that position where he had me at, you know, because now he was transforming my mindset even in that first night. And so, again, I knew that on the other side of it, that if I would allow him to drive and take the wheel, that he'd get me where he wanted me to be, and that I could win, and I could be used to help spread the gospel and to help other people out.
So 7 years later, you're out of prison, and what's the new Sammy Smith? What was he like?
Well, you know, when I initially came out, man, I just wanted to impact people. And I wanted to do it on a small level, right?
Yeah.
I can remember getting asked to come and speak at things, right? And so one of the first things I had the opportunity to be a part of was Restore Orlando. And this was from time to time I would get a chance to go and just speak to maybe 30, 40 kids, you know, that may have been going through some difficult times. Maybe they have been in some trouble and they were a part of different programs, right? And so I was comfortable with that. That was my comfort zone, was being able to just kind of share with small groups. And then it would be 2010, I believe, I get a call from Wave Robinson, who was our FCA multi-area director here in Orlando. And he calls me out of the blue. I don't even know how he got my phone number. Says, hey, man, I was wondering if you'd be willing to come and speak at the FCA Capital One Bowl Breakfast.
Wow, okay.
And I never forget, it was Michigan State and Alabama were playing in that game that year. And I told Wave, I said, well, Wave, let me get back with you. I said, I'm not sure I'm available. Now, this is us having a conversation on the cell phone. And I hung up the phone with him, and I was immediately convicted. Because, see, I had got comfortable and just wanted to do small things. I didn't want to go speak in front of 1,000 people, 800-900 people. And God clearly, within like a minute of hanging that phone up with Wade, says, I thought you told me you were going to share the gospel, that you were going to be bold when you got out. And so I called Wade back literally, man, in less than 5 minutes, and says, hey, I'm clear. And we laugh about it and joke about it today. Because he says, man, that's the fastest anyone got back to me. I said, well, when God tells you to do something, man, you don't hesitate. You get on the horn and you do it. And so that was life-changing for me, though. You know, just stepping out on faith, believing that I was going to follow what God was asking me to do, and then sharing at that FCA breakfast in front of, you know, I think it might have been close to 800-900 people there.
Yeah.
And just seeing the impact that my testimony could have on athletes, on these players that when I was done came up and were sharing things with me, personal, private things that, you know, they were struggling with. And just to see their faces, man, and to see some of them with tears in their eyes after I had shared was really impactful. And it kind of validated that, you know, man, if you're willing to share your testimony and to share it, you know, unbridled, and just to be transparent about the things that happened in your life, you can impact a whole lot of people. And so that's the mindset that I have had and continue to move forward with.
I just got to say, God works all things out for his glory, right? And so you did that, and now you're on staff with FCA, and you're working with FCA Outdoors. So tell me, what makes you so passionate about FCA Outdoors?
Well, FCA impacted my life. I told you, I think it was 1983 was my first experience going to Black Mountain, North Carolina. And I remember that the guest speaker that year was Bobby Jones. And he's way before your time. But he was a, I think he was a forward. I think he played forward for the Philadelphia 76ers. Okay. But it was a really good basketball player. And he came and he shared his faith that night. And I never forget me and probably the majority of my football team there at Apopka High School going up and giving our life to Christ. Mm. And, you know, and then just to see that come full circle, you know, 40 years later. So in 2023, the last Black Mountain, I was the guest speaker there.
Okay. Wow.
You know, and so, again, FCA has just been tremendous to me. You know, being around an FCA minded coach in high school. And then of course, Coach Bowden, but not only Coach Bowden, other staff members that were there, my recruiter, Jim Gladden, that recruited me to Florida State and still a great friend of mine today, was FCA minded. And so it's impacted my life. And I think that I wouldn't be doing it justice to not be a part of FCA and to be able to give back and share from my journey, whether it be in sports or going through the prison stint. Yeah. Or any other aspect of my life that can help others out.
Well, we may have some coaches that are listening to this, and so I just want to say, as a former player, what would you say to a coach that is either on the fence or trying to figure out whether or not they want to bring FCA onto their program?
Well, I like to go back to something that Billy Graham said, and I don't know that I'll get it verbatim, you know, word for word, but he made a statement some along the lines of that a coach in 1 year has the opportunity to impact more lives than the average person does in a lifetime. Mm. And that's so true. And when you think about that, you know, and I'm thinking about the high school coaches that are football coaches. I'm thinking about the college coaches. I just left Ole Miss for 7 seasons there. And so when you think about, you know, that statement, you really are thinking about the players. But man, what about the people that are in the stands that are watching you? Mm. You know, what about your other coaches, you know, your assistants? What about your support staff? You see, so it's not just about the players that they get the opportunity to impact. There's the people that's in their whole circle. And so if there's a coach on the fence that's listening, man, I would say, man, listen, dive in. Use the platform that God has given you, you know, for the purpose of honoring him. He gave you the talent to be a coach, yeah. Right? So use it for the purpose that he gave you that talent for, and that's to be a messenger of the gospel and to impact people's lives for Christ.
That's so good. Thank you for saying that. And lastly, I just want to ask you this. We have another guest with us that's sitting in the background, but seems to be your better half. So tell me about her and what she's been in your life.
Man, she's my rock. My wife, Shalonda. I met her literally within months after getting out. I won't go into the story of how we met, but matter of fact, I will.
Okay.
My dad worked for a tile company, you know, like flooring tile and wall tile. And he was one of their, I guess, like floor managers there. And so whenever they would discontinue tile, they would let him buy it for pennies on the dollar just to get it out. And so he kept a big shed at his house full of tile. And so he got to be known as Mr. Smith the Tile Man. If you need tile, go see him. Well, Shalonda, my wife, had come down one weekend looking for tile. She was just building a home and was looking for tile for her floor. And she came to my dad's house, and I happened to be there. And she got more than she bargained for. She came there for towel and left with her husband.
Wow.
And towel. But no, she's just special, man. I mean, she, you know, encourages me. She lifts me up. I know she prays for me. you know, when you talk about a Proverbs 31 woman, man, I mean, that's what she is to me. And she's just been my rock, you know, and that's what we need as men, right?
Exactly.
We need a rock next to us, and we need to be that rock also for our wives and our kids. And we need to be the example. And so I think God intently put me with a special woman like her so that we can model for our kids and whomever comes in our sphere of influence what, you know, a marriage is supposed to be like.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, for me, as a husband, we're only as strong as the woman that's behind us. So thank you so much for being his rock and being there and cheering him on as well. So, Sammy, hey, I definitely appreciate you taking the time just to be able to chat for a little while and share your story and share your testimony. It's been amazing to get to meet you and looking forward to what God wants to do through you in 2024 and beyond with FCA Outdoors.
Well, Jason, I appreciate the opportunity to come on your show. And, man, I'm going to be coming down your way sometime soon.
Okay.
Greg Anderson that works with FCA has told me about an organization down there, Mission Fishing.
Okay. All right.
And, so I'm looking to connect with those folks and be able to come down and maybe bring some kids that otherwise wouldn't have an opportunity to come down to South Florida to fish.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm excited about what God is doing with FCA. And especially the outdoors division of it.
Well, hope we can connect when you're here. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
You know, we couldn't do this ministry without you and your generosity. If you'd like to learn more, please visit our website, fcapbc.org. Again, that's fcapbc.org. If you'd like to support FCA, there will be links in the show notes. Clinics and podcasts take resources to complete. And you make this possible. Thank you for helping us bring coaches and athletes into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church in Palm Beach County. We'll see you next time.